teams need it. For Seattle, it's first and 92 yards. Second down and a diving catch by Metcalf. Here's a good shot to the sideline. Catch is made by Fant and a first down play of 5 yards. Here is a bobble pass and Metcalf comes up with. And they're going to give Metcalf the catch. Lock airs it out. Metcalf downfield. He's got it. And out of bounds to stop the clock at the 29. Lock. End zone. It is caught. Touchdown, Seattle. Smith and Jigba has put the Seahawks on top.
That'll do, Drew. That'll do. Drew Lock, everybody. Getting the win over the Philadelphia Eagles
last night. The most electrifying man in all of entertainment.
You know, man, we got a poll question, and I threw it out there because, you know, I like to do this. But Drew Lock or Russell Wilson, I don't know if it would have worked out for Drew. I'm a Drew Lock fan, and I want to get into this later throughout the show today. But just the guy never had a chance in Denver. And he has the ability. Like, he has a good arm. He takes a lot of risks. He takes a lot of chances. But if he would have had, we talk about, like, the right place at the right time all the time for these quarterbacks. There's a few guys that can go anywhere and just be good. There's the Aaron Rodgers guys of the world. Obviously, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady. There are those, like, historic quarterbacks that can go anywhere and be good. But most of the guys, even good quarterbacks, it is about their development, the right situation they go to. Drew Lock, will it even work out with Seattle long term? If I'm Pete Carroll, I'm going with Drew Lock the very next game. I'm staying with the hot hand. He didn't have a great game. It wasn't amazing. But that drive, that was a pretty big drive. 92 yards to roll down and get that touchdown. It was a beautiful throw. That ball was placed only where Njigba could get that ball. It was a beautiful catch by him, but if that ball goes anywhere, Russell's not throwing that kind of pass. I haven't seen that kind of fingertip catch from as far as leading a receiver. And he had some bad throws too, but got the win.
I think one of the biggest what ifs is, what if it was Hackett and Lock together?
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting point, because Hackett, and I don't know how Hackett's going to end up doing. Obviously, with the Jets, it's been up and down. It's been mostly down this year. But Hackett does seem to fit more of a, it seems like maybe his style would be more of a Drew Lock. Plus, they're both young guys, and you're coming in together. You know, what would have happened if it was, even if you just play the timetable game, and it was Hackett that was hired as the head coach instead of Vic Fangio 6-7 years ago or whatever. You never know, because it does. I think Drew Lock is like the big what if of all time Broncos right now, because, you know, you got him in the second round and it just didn't quite work out. And then Vic brings in Teddy Bridgewater, and you have the decision, you have the quarterback controversy or the quarterback competition in training camp. I think that was Drew's third year in the league was the quarterback battle. And you knew Vic was going to lean on the side of a conservative game manager. He was never going to go with Drew Lock. And to be fair, Teddy Bridgewater had a good preseason that year. They both did. It was like 50-50. And if it's 50-50, like Vic said, flip a coin. He was going to flip the coin, but make sure it was two, you know, both sides had heads on it. And it was going to be Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah, I mean, to your point, you know, Drew was never given a real, I would say, a fair shake. I think, you know, he had that 4 or 5 games at the end of that 1 year where he was 4-1 or something, really good streak there. And then you got rid of his offensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. And it was, oh, well, maybe Drew's good enough to fix it or just be good on his own. And then you bring in Teddy Bridgewater, and I would say you should have started Drew Lock and let Teddy be the backup, and just in case.
Yeah, the ceiling's there for emergency. Drew. Right, right. That whole thing, I was very upset about it, because you're going to go with a career backup guy to start when Drew is still an unknown entity at this point. And you're going to go with that. And he said, Chris says, Shermer ran the offense. Not Drew's rookie year. It was Scangarello. Mm-hmm. And Drew Lock had five games. One of them was bad. Four of them were pretty good. The game that was bad was like a blizzard against the Chiefs. And that was when the Chiefs were starting to really get on their rise. So then what do you do as a Broncos organization, as Vic Fangio? You have an offensive coordinator that seems to be clicking with Drew Lock for four out of five games as a rookie. And then you get rid of him and bring in Pat Shermer. And so that right there was like, first off, it was weird that Elway and company drafted Drew Lock, knowing our head coach is a defensive minded guy. And on the offensive side, he's a conservative minded guy. Field position. We just want to have our defense save things here. So drafting Drew Lock was like oil and water, man. It just didn't seem to make sense.
Well, and the trend of younger offensive minded coaches hadn't really caught fire yet, like we've seen now.
Yeah, and the Broncos did a, hey, this guy's well-respected and a well-respected defensive guy, but he's never been a head coach, and he's in his 60s. Let's bring him in and pair him with this young, gunslinging quarterback that is Drew Lock. That's just that stuff's on Elway. It's not necessarily Vic Fangio's fault that he was given, here are your options, Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Lock. Well, yeah, I'm going to go with Bridgewater. He's not going to risk a lot. He's not going to turn it over a lot. And he's going to allow us to punt and change the field and let our defense go win games for us. But it was fun last night, man. I mean, again, it wasn't a perfect game. He was 22 of 33, 208 yards, a touchdown, no picks. He was sacked twice. But then if you look over, Jalen Hurts, no longer in the MVP conversation, 143 yards and two picks for him, no touchdowns.
He was sick, Brady.
Wow, and he's saying there's the commitment's not there. From his teammates, and I'm looking at that game, 17-31. He didn't look great. I mean, we're throwing people under the bus.
Had some issues the last few weeks.
Yeah, and I was one of those guys on the Eagles side. With Sirianni, a lot of people don't like him. I didn't think I didn't like him. I don't think I like him anymore.
He's an easy coach to not like.
He has that face. He has very, that face.
Twitter says a very punchable face.
Well, and it's not, I'm not one of those guys like to poke fun at a person's appearance, but the way he acts and his mannerisms just make him look grumpy, arrogant, and kind of a tool.
Like yelling at the Chiefs fans as you're walking into the tunnel, the weird Super Bowl antics that Jalen Hurts had to come like calm him down a little bit. It's weird. I think Philly, the organization, the fan base, I think they buy into that kind of attitude. And then Jalen Hurts is kind of the other side of that coin where he's just, very stoic and
very low-key,
matter-of-fact about what he does.
Well, and then you see Sirianni, talking trash to Pete Carroll across the field. Carroll calls, it was in the third quarter, Pete Carroll calls a timeout. That gives the Eagles time to challenge the play. They challenge it. They win the challenge. Ultimately, Seattle settles for a field goal there, which turned out pretty big. But Carroll wanted his timeout back because he called the timeout, and then the challenge happened. Well, that's not going to work. But Sirianni's like leaning away from the ref, looking across the field at Carroll, like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Kind of just this, like, no.
He was looking at Pete Carroll with the backwards hat and saying, who's this? What are you doing, old man?
I thought it was weird. That was weird. But again, the night belonged really to Drew Lock. He made some key throws. That drive, a 92-yard drive, 17-13, and they just kept going. He had some beautiful plays to DK Metcalf. Metcalf came up with some big-time plays.
Metcalf is a beast.
He's a beast. He's a monster.
When you get him the ball, he's a beast.
Five receptions, 78 yards. Njigba had four receptions, 48 yards, and of course the 29-yard touchdown pass or reception.
A dime.
That was
a
perfect throw. And then again, you put it where their fingertips are, and any receiver that's decent, that's good, is going to make that catch.
We had a couple of those throws on that drive alone. Like, I think the other DK Metcalf one down the sideline in between two defenders. It's almost when you get in those situations where it's okay, you got to go length of field, just line up, and we're just going to throw it. And you don't even. You kind of force yourself into that rhythm without even thinking about it.
And listen, Drew Lock had a lot of throws where he's trying to. He reminds me of Jay Cutler in many ways. He's trying to squeeze the football.
Which version of Jay Cutler?
There was a good version of Jay Cutler, too. I honestly think Denver screwed him over, too. I think that Denver doesn't know how to deal with quarterbacks that are not proven entities like Peyton Manning. Jake Plummer, I felt like they screwed him over as well by drafting Jay Cutler and putting all the pressure in the world on Jake Plummer. The Broncos, for whatever reason, have just had a history, and it's got to be coincidence because the guys making the decisions when Plummer was there, that was Mike Shanahan. Maybe Elway learned from Mike Shanahan because those decisions were still happening after the Plummer-Cutler thing. I thought McDaniels comes in, ruins the Cutler thing, gets rid of him, and then you draft Drew Lock. You don't really give him the right situation. So it's a coincidence. You know, it's not just like the Broncos just don't know how to. No, it's just a bad coincidence.
Coincidence or conspiracy that Elway wants to be the greatest quarterback in Denver Broncos history.
Yeah, I remember that argument, Angel. I remember during the Tebow years of yesteryear, that was like the weirdest time to be a sports fan or to be a Broncos fan. The strangest time to be a Broncos fan in my life was the Tebow years, or maybe just the year. I seriously had family members that never really watched the Broncos, didn't really care. They kind of like sports, whatever, but I remember sitting, bunch of them, and they're all surrounding the table. We're eating, and that was seriously like, you know, Elway wants to get rid of Tebow because he doesn't want him to break all of his records. And I'm like, do you see? Go look in the mirror and watch yourself say that. You look like Sirianni right now. You it's so stupid. But yes, there is the conspiracy that no other quarterback will ever get to where Elway was.
I'm telling you, this Paxton Lynch guy, he's going to work out.
Joe Flacco in his prime. You know,
Case Keenum, come on down.
Although Elway now is like, look at all these guys. Look at how great they're doing. You know, I had the right idea. I just didn't have the right coaches for him. Kenneth Walker was good last night. He looked unstoppable at times. He had 19 carries for 86 yards and a touchdown. It was a really fun night. If you're a Seattle Seahawks fan, if you are, there are a lot of people that root like me that root for Drew Lock. I don't root for Joe Flacco necessarily. I kind of do now because I like the story.
It's a cool story.
I don't root for Case Keenum. I'm not rooting for former Broncos quarterbacks to go out and do stuff. If it's a cool story like Joe Flacco, okay, that's different. Nothing to do with his Bronco-ness. Nothing to do with that.
Is it a little sense that maybe if Drew can prove himself, maybe he comes back at some point?
Oh, no. I don't think...
The prodigal son returns?
Maybe. No, probably not. Probably not. But it would be fun to see Sean Payton and Drew Lock work together. I think.
I mean, you could see him, like, pick up the 3 jersey, put it back on, like, we're back.
We're back.
Lock it in.
He had a good post-game. Was it Pam Oliver that interviewed him? She did a great job with this. She could sense the moment. He was emotional. I don't know if he's as emotional as everybody's making it out to be. He wasn't really crying or anything, but I liked what he had to say. Here's Drew Lock after the win.
Can you just describe what you're feeling in your heart right now?
Yeah. It's so hard. It's so hard to describe the feeling of, you know, not playing for so long, or at least what feels like a really long time to me. And then you sit there, you watch games, you wonder, can I do this still? I haven't been out there on the field. That's the human nature of it. You get back out there last week, and I'm like, you know what? I'm the man, so I can go do this. And then you got another test this week where I didn't know if I was going to play or not. Sure enough, ended up playing. We're playing the Eagles tonight. And the boys around me rallied tonight. And it just, gosh, it feels so good. It feels so good. I'm so proud of everybody tonight.
I really loved that Angel for so many reasons. There was self-doubt in that, which we all have. It's a good lesson. Sometimes you can listen to these athletes, and I'm not saying look up to them, but you can take what they say, and those are lessons in life. Drew Lock said, hey, can I still do this? I don't know. I haven't really been out there very consistently over the years. And then he kind of pauses, and you have to, right? You have to. You're being given the reins. So what do you have to do? You have to say, nah, I'm the man. I could do this. So I love that because that's how we all operate. We all doubt ourselves, and then at some point we have to, you either keep doubting yourself and you just give up, or you keep going and you keep saying, I can do this. I'm the man. So I got goosebumps watching it. And you know me, I'm a Drew Lock fan. He didn't have 400 yards like I thought and 3 touchdowns, but still.
I'll take a game-winning drive.
I'll take a 92-yard winning touchdown drive. That was something else. That was special. One night it was special.
Seattle's back in the playoff.
That was a monster win for Seattle. So those of you that are like, Drew, that win was so huge for for Seattle. They are deep in the playoff picture now. They get their guy to come back and do it. Maybe the tush push has been exposed a little bit. The moving of the football a couple of inches. Jason Kelce. They caught him. And he
was
talked.
He the one that lost his face mask? Because I saw a clip of that.
I don't know.
Like, his face mask is just hanging off of the helmet.
Probably.
By, like,
well, yeah,
one little
bolt. That's what happens under the. He's leading that thing, man. He's got a dirt. That's a dirty job. Mike Rowe should go out and do dirty jobs and just interview Jason Kelce on the tush push. Because that is a dirty job. But what he's doing, and apparently this is happening a lot, that he's when he's lining up, he's slides that football forward about an inch or two every time.
Oh, yeah, he squats down, puts his hand on the ball, and then
positions
extends
himself.
His arm a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've seen centers do that before.
It probably does happen.
It's like framing a pitch in baseball. Margin of error a little bit in that neutral zone area. But, I mean, when you're looking at the Eagles, you're paying attention to every little thing they're doing.
You're watching the tush push now, because I guarantee you Roger Goodell and company are saying, hey, that's something in the offseason we are going to be discussing. Refs, watch it closely.
Oh, offsides, too.
Offsides.
The way they all line up and get up on the line like that.
Correct.
Call it.
Surprising they haven't had more calls like that. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. He said, Chris Golly, what if Russ had some elite receivers? Yeah, I mean,
was Locke doing it with the same guys?
Yeah, Locke was not given any. Like, who are his best receivers? DT, was DT there for a brief moment? No, that was kind of the end of that, wasn't it? Now, my timelines are all jacked up.
2019.
Wow. Who were the receivers for him back then? Like, why am I blanking out on this? I know Judy was there with him at one point. Cortland Sutton was there, right? It was definitely Cortland Sutton, and probably Jerry Jeudy was there for one stint.
Cortland Sutton, Manuel Sanders.
And Sanders was on his downward.
Tim Patrick as well.
Same guys.
Yeah.
Same guys that Russ had, except for Emmanuel Sanders, and that was not Emmanuel Sanders, the same one that Peyton Manning had. So, come on, he said, Chris, it's
Garrett
the same
Bowles,
dudes.
You had Dalton Reisner, Juwan James, Connor McGovern, Ronald Leary on the offense.
Well, I guess to be fair to Eastside Chris, Drew struggled at a lot of times, and he had the same receiving core, and Russ is actually putting things together, but they changed the offense for Russ. They have changed the offense. He wasn't given that treatment by Vic Fangio. Smitty says, Locke's biggest issue is still accuracy, which stems from his very poor footwork. Good arm, good guy, good teammate, still just a backup quarterback given his lack of overall unrealized potential. But everything you just text me there, Smitty, unrealized potential, means he didn't have the right people backing him up. He was one of those quarterbacks that could very well be a product of his environment.
Well, I mean, you hear it thrown around in media talk like, oh, he's a system quarterback. When did that become a bad thing? If I can have a system that works for my quarterback's strengths, I'm going to use that system.
Yes. I don't think a system quarterback is a bad thing. It just means that if the coach ever gets fired and they change the system, the struggle will be real. The challenge will be real for that quarterback.
I mean, you saw that with Aaron Rodgers with his first year with LaFleur. They had issues getting the offense on the same page. Is it Aaron's offense? Is it LaFleur's offense? And eventually they got it figured out.
Correct.
But now you're seeing more of Jordan Love in LaFleur's offense.
Yeah, it all takes time. And again, there are certain guys that can go above that. Peyton Manning is the system. James Harden line. He is the system. Tom Brady, more than likely, was the system. As we saw, as we're seeing now with New England being just awful now. Mm-hmm. They're getting worse every year without Tommy Bones. So I'm not like, I know it sounds like an excuse. Do I think Drew Locke is one of, could have been one of those guys? No, I don't think he could have went on and been like a Patrick Mahomes and Peyton Manning and Tom Brady. I don't think he's one of those guys that is the system, but he needed the environment around him.
Yeah, I mean, you go back to that. What if it was Hackett and Locke for just 1 year? You know, Hackett's not tied to Locke. So Hackett could have a rough year, and hey, you can go get whatever quarterback you want, or you show me something with Drew Locke, and we move forward. And now we have cap space, now we have draft picks.
Yeah, it would have been nice to see that. I want to go through that, because that was a very strange time. You know, heading into the draft, it was the Broncos are going to be trading for Aaron Rodgers, and there was like Denver media that was saying that's happening. And I,
oh yeah, a girlfriend in Boulder.
Correct.
Or something.
Yeah, it was like Aaron Rodgers is going to be a Bronco. And that's why they went and got Nathaniel Hackett and all that stuff. Well, that didn't happen. And then shortly after that, it was Russell Wilson. And so I kept saying, can Drew Lock survive? Can he survive free agency? Can he survive draft night? Can he survive Rodgers trade talks? And then he did. He survived all those things. And I was like, okay, they're gonna run it back with Drew Lock, with Nathaniel Hackett, right? That would have been it.
The Wilson trade like kind of came out of nowhere a little bit.
I hadn't heard anything about it. It was very quiet. I think there were Seattle deep insiders that said, no way in hell Seattle's trading
Russ.
They
were looking to move him because I know like their Chicago was trying to make a deal with them.
But then they said no. And right. Then you got a lot of those Seattle reporters saying, no, they're not going to do it. There's no way they're going to trade Russell Wilson. And then here comes the Broncos out of nowhere. I mean, yeah, obviously they'd been working on it for a while, but they make this trade and, you know, you trade what? Drew Lock, Noah Fant, the D-tackle, why am I blanking? Sheldon?
Sheldon Rankin?
Come on. Gah! And then like 4 million draft picks. So it was not, I didn't like it because I thought, man, I don't know if, but I did like it better than the Rodgers thing because I still thought Russell Wilson.
Shelby Harris.
Sheldon. Big Bang Theory. I like Russell Wilson because I liked what he did in Seattle. I mean, I was always a fan. If I knew Seattle was playing, Russell Wilson to me was must-see television. And I'm just being honest, but I was more of the mindset to stay the course with Drew Lock. See how this thing plays out. And I, can the Broncos.
For a year. Because then you move off of him.
And can the Broncos really strike gold three times? Elway, Manning, Russ. Can you really get three of the greatest quarterbacks of all time do it while in a Broncos uniform? And I was hesitant about that. And then they move on, and here we are. Here we are at this stage. Seattle is in the playoff picture. So are the Broncos. Same record, right?
7-7.
7-7. So they're almost in the same spot. And I'm not sitting here today. There's no victory lap. Drew Lock had a nice night and he had a nice drive. But will he do it again? Will he do it next week at Tennessee? Maybe. I'm rooting for him. But
is there a controversy now with Seattle? Like, do you start Geno again? Ride the hot hand?
Don't you ride the hot hand? I ride the hot hand.
Yeah, I mean, you see Geno on the sidelines, all wrapped up in a toboggan, and he's cheering. He's doing the little dance that Drew Lock does, and you know you like that kind of teammate because I think Geno is used to that role. But did you find something with a young quarterback?
I think you have to go with this, and you just kind of see what happens. If you go beat Tennessee and Drew does it again, you've got your guy for the year. They still may draft a quarterback this offseason.
Well, it's kind of similar to how he was in Denver. Mm-hmm. Oh, you had a good streak of games. We're going to start Teddy anyway.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you had a good game or
see,
two,
that would
we're going to start Geno.
I think it would be a terrible decision by Pete Carroll to go with Teddy Bridgewater. And again, I'm not an anti-Teddy guy. It's just, I know what I got in Teddy.
Oh, and Carroll's embraced
Teddy. Sorry, Teddy.
The young gun.
I keep saying Teddy.
Geno.
Same kind of deal, right?
Yeah.
Both kind of backup quarterbacks.
Maybe you know Carroll's got the backwards hat on. Maybe he's kind of embracing that style with Drew Lock a little bit.
I'm going all, if I were the Seahawks, I'm going all in on the Drew Lock thing. I really am. Let's get to the good, the bad, the ugly from the night that was. Good, the bad, the ugly presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. For more on FMS Bank, check them out online at fmsbank.com/KFKA. The good for me, I'm going to go with it. Yeah, Drew Lock, 92-yard drive. Beautiful touchdown pass. Third and 10 on that play, by the way. Third and 10. So, you know, you don't get that. That's incomplete. It's scary times, man. But they get it done. And then there's an interception at the end. Jalen Hurts throws it deep. There's a pick. Did his toe touch the ground or not? Would it have really mattered? I think there was 13 seconds left or something like that. Don't know. You only needed a field goal, though. But I thought his toe touched the ground. He actually ran into his own guy, and it kept his leg from sliding out of bounds, and it popped down. It was close. Do you count blades of grass, or does it actually need to be in the ground? Because if a blade of grass grazed the tip of his toe, is that down? Is that in bounds?
Well, it depends if it's grass or turf. Turf, you look for the little black pellets to shoot up. Grass, it's kind of just...
Yeah. I don't have a lot of bad from last night other than it was a weird night for Nikola Jokic, but didn't need to be anything great. It wasn't really bad. It's just, has the last 2 weeks hurt his MVP thing? You know, he's had it. We agreed. We talked about it yesterday. He's had a weird 2 weeks of play. How much will these last 2 weeks really impact his style? You know, rough shooting percentage nights, rough efficiency nights. He wasn't very efficient. Gets ejected. And then last night, you lose to OKC and he had an all right game. And then last night, he did what was necessary and didn't even play in the fourth. Does it impact the MVP watch? It does. Can he climb right back out of it? Sure.
Does he want to?
He's not going to not play well.
Or does he want to be an MVP again?
I don't think he cares.
After all the drama from last year.
Don't think he cares. One way or the other. But up until about 4 weeks ago, Angel, we were saying, wow, Nikola Jokic, it's like he's better than he's ever been. He's better than the two MVP years. He's better than the championship year. But he hit a snag the last 2 or 3 weeks. So if I'm forced to pick a bad, I'll go with that. The ugly for me was, I didn't get to this yesterday, but the Steelers player that got suspended for the entire season, and then if they make the playoffs too?
Yeah, let me get his name here.
I didn't go over this yesterday, but it's just the NFL, you know, laying down the hammer. They are hammering that thing down.
DeMonte Casey.
Yeah.
Suspended for the remainder of the season for his hit on Pittman Jr.
Did you see the
Saturday game? I did.
Yeah. I mean, bad hit.
Tough. I think Tom Brady came out and was like, you can't put your receivers in that kind of position. Well, I mean, the receiver's diving for a catch. He's in midair when he gets hit. And he's, technically defenseless. If you're just floating in the air like that.
Yeah, that's tough. It's a tough spot, man. Was it too extreme? Did he have a pretty bad history of hits too, kind of like Kareem Jackson?
Not that I think. I think this one was more just an extreme measure. You probably didn't have to hit him. You probably could have, you know, maybe he catches it, maybe he doesn't, but he's going to hit the ground and then you just tag him, he's down.
Yeah. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Okay, here's what we're doing. Angel, I'm off next week, but in the new year, we're not going to do Top Text Tuesday. We're going to do Top Take Tuesday, which means you can text the show, you can tweet at us, you can comment on the whole show, Facebook page, whatever. Top Take wins whatever kind of gift card I'm giving out. Today, I'm going to give away stuff all week, too, by the way. I got a Rule 105 gift card for $15. So I want the top take. And I don't have to agree with the take. If the take makes me think. So I'm giving you some fuel here. My poll question is this. Who would you rather have as the starting quarterback right now for the Broncos? Drew Lock or Russell Wilson? That's one. You can go off that. You can create your own take. I don't care. But I'm also asking this question. Christmas is Monday. What Christmas gift would you like? Be realistic. Don't say win the Super Bowl, win all the championships, go undefeated. For the teams we cover on the whole show. For
those of Merry Christmas.
I love Santa. For those of you that don't know, we talk Broncos, Nuggets, Avalanche, Rockies, CSU, UNC, CU, and Wyoming primarily. So of those teams,
hey,
think about
forget
it.
About Air Force.
Yes. Yes.
Left all of them but one.
And I'm just going to start. So this is a take. It's a take. It's a theme of what we're doing today. For the Broncos, I want them to get an aha moment from Russ, an aha game from Russ, where it's like, there it is. There's the 325-yard day, 2 touchdowns, no picks. He looked efficient. He was hitting receivers open in the middle of the field. He was throwing them open. All of those things to make us go, let's keep this thing going. You guys think I'm rooting against it and keeping Russell Wilson. I'm not. I just have not had the aha moment that makes me comfortable going into next year with that contract and the cap hit that it's going to create.
An aha, like a take on me type of moment?
Or? Yeah, both.
Okay.
Yeah, both. Yeah, I want to see Russ have those moments. And I'm not even talking about what Drew Lock did last night. That was a nice drive, but I don't think anybody in Seattle today is ready to go, let's go, Drew, he's the future. I still think it was like, that was a beautiful drive, but we want to see more from this guy. I'm in the same boat with Russell Wilson.
I think the word you've used is clunky.
It is.
You want it to be cleaner.
Yep. Everything that Russ does. There's never been, he's had some nice throws, he's had some nice plays, some scrambles, some first downs, but I've never walked away from a game, win or lose, and said, Russ has got it. We're well behind here. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Let's take a quick break. It is Top Take Tuesday. Twitter, Facebook, text, whatever. Find a way to get at us, and I'm going to read your take. And if it's the top take, you got a $15 gift certificate to Rule 105. We'll be right back.
Your home for UNC basketball. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, I'm Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Coloradoan, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
She's kind of a weird time in the Russell Wilson saga in Denver. I mean, you have that last night happen with Drew Locke, and that just adds, I think, to the conversation a little bit more. You have Sean Payton screaming his head off at on Saturday night against the Lions for everybody to see. You got some national guys saying that Sean Payton should publicly apologize to Russell Wilson. Russ hasn't been great to me all year. He's been fine. He's been okay. So it's just, it is an interesting saga in Denver. No question about it. Hikes Ace Hardware. That's Hikes Hardware. Their store address is 1722 9th Street here in Greeley. I love these guys. They're veteran and locally owned. And again, they staff that place. So when you walk in, you ask a question. Maybe you bring a piece in that you're looking for a duplicate. You're looking for a type of tool. You're looking for something that's going to help you get your do-it-yourself project done. And they don't look at you like you just brought in a crazy calculus math problem or something like that. They actually will sit down and figure out what you need, get you in and out as quickly as possible so you can get back to work. That's Hikes Hardware here in Greeley. Again, 1722 9th Street. Give them a call. Hey, before you head out, call them. See what they got. 970-353-1416. That's Hikes Hardware. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. It is Top Take Tuesday. Something new we're doing. Really going to load that up in the new year. But we're giving you gifts. I'm hooking you up with something cool. I got a $15 gift certificate to Rule 105. Top Take of the Day gets the gift certificate. So keep bringing us texts, comments, tweets, whatever. You want to answer the poll question, go from there. That's great, too. Some of the comments on the Christmas gift thing, Angel. Mike says, Broncos playoffs. Nuggets wishing for a championship. Avalanche wishing for a championship. Rockies cheaper beer. CSU Sweet 16. UNC CBI. That would be a nice thing for UNC this year. Boulder, not even going to say CU. You can tell he's a Rams fan. Lose play-in game. Well, see, he's self-serving because he's like, go win, be awesome this year, help the Rams with their net rankings and all that stuff, but then go lose the play-in game. Wyoming sweep Air Force, get smoked by CSU twice.
Ho, ho, ho.
So Mike's
Merry
got yeah.
Christmas.
Mike's got his Christmas list there. Big Hub says CSU to get to the Sweet 16. That's my Christmas wish when it comes to sports. 43 minutes after the hour. I wish we could get to a break real quick. How about the bottom of the, what are we doing here? Yeah, just let's just go to sports. How about that, Angel? We'll be right back.
This is Katie Wingy, your host, reporter, and analyst for the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Yeah, man. There we go. You're getting me rolling here on a Tuesday, Angel. That's how we do it. Drew Locke jamming out to that and my city and all that. Just having the time of his life. Oh, no, that wasn't. Was that Drew? Was that Drew the time of his life? No, that wasn't Drew. That was with Vance. Vance Joseph. Steamway floor to ceiling, family owned for over 35 years. New Year's coming up. Maybe a new year, new you, new house, new designs, new plans. Check out our friends at Steamway Floor to Ceiling online, steamwayfloortoceiling.com. Or better yet, go see this 4,000 square foot showroom and tell them we sent you when you do. That's the steamwayfloortoceiling.com. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. Top Take Tuesday. I like this one from is it just E? It's on Twitter. So if you guys want to comment on Twitter for the world to see, you can do that at Whole Show. Just search at Whole Show, follow, comment. You could win stuff with Top Take Tuesday. We're going to grow this thing, Angel, to the point where we're giving away really big stuff, really good stuff. So we're going to keep growing this thing. And not to say a $15 gift certificate to Rule 105 isn't big, but we're going to mix it up. We're going to do fun giveaways throughout the year. E says, Broncos to get to the playoffs. Nuggets, wake me up when the playoffs start. The regular season doesn't matter for them. Avalanche, wake me up when the playoffs start. The regular season doesn't matter for them. It's true. They're both kind of right in the same position. Rockies, Monfort sell the team to Cronkies. CSU, Sweet 16 appearance. Northern Colorado, just be thankful Ed McCaffrey is gone. See you in Fort Collins in September. Wyoming, Santa doesn't go to Laramie anyway.
Oh.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good, man. I like that so far.
I'm guessing they're a Rams fan.
Oh, I'm guessing so.
Is Sweet 16, that's the cap?
I think that's what, like, most people just say, hey, Sweet 16, then anything can happen at that point. Saying championship is just like, it's a bad word almost. Like, you just can't do it. You say Sweet 16's the goal, and then anything can happen.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, you'd probably be good enough to get past that first weekend, those weird 2-3 days where you play in the first round, play your two games, and then you move to the Sweet 16. Probably be good with that.
Yeah. This might win Top Take just because of the final line here, Angel. Eastside Chris, I and maybe Brian would love to hear John Keyworth sing You Gotta Make Those Miracles Happen on all the sports stations. And specifically, NoCo Morning with Brian and Friends.
Is that a troll?
That could be a Top Take. Because he said the show is called NoCo Morning with Brian and Friends. It's Good Morning NoCo with Brian, Gary, and Tanner Schwent, but Tanner's going to love that. We should get a t-shirt.
I think Tanner's been advocating for Good Morning NoCo with Tanner and Brian.
I would reverse
plus
it.
Plus Angel.
Well, yeah, plus Angel.
My name's not even
your
in
name's
the logo.
Not even in anything. It's because you're the Wizard of Oz, dude. You're better than all of it. Well, at least we think.
How does that make Micah?
Micah's like Toto, man.
Oh, he's just along for the ride.
Tanner's Dorothy. I'm probably Dorothy.
Oh, because he lives on a farm?
Yeah, in Kansas. Close to it. No, I'm probably Dorothy. Micah's Toto.
I'd say Micah's a cowardly lion a little bit.
I was going to say Tanner's probably...
I mean, but Brian has the hair for the cowardly lion.
Brian's the cowardly lion?
He's got the look for it.
Who's Tanner?
One of the munchkins.
Oh, really? I thought you were going to go with Scarecrow. You know?
It could be, yeah.
Tin Man. It's got to be the owner of the station. 51 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.
Get your game day forecast with meteorologist Cody Wilson. Fridays on Good Morning NoCo, only in Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Krista Mateo, your UNC women's basketball coach, and you are listening to The Whole Show, 1310 KFKA.
Maybe in the new year, you're thinking about a new career, thinking about a CDL. Well, at True Safety Services, you can do just that. They have 25 years of CDL training experience, 20 years of construction experience, 38 years of oil and gas experience. They get it, but you can get your CDL training done with True Safety. Use KFKA10 for 10% off your first class. Go visit truesafetyservices.com. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. It is top text to top take, top take Tuesday. It's going to take some time, which means any of your takes, whether it's on Twitter or Facebook or texting or whatever, as long as you get at us, we're going to read it. And if we like it, you're going to win stuff. And in this case, we've got a $15 gift certificate to Rule 105. You can call as well. If you want to call, you don't want to get on the air. We have a lot of people that don't want to get on the air, just nervous about it. You can give Angel your take, or he can put you on the air. You give me your take.
I was going to say, I won't screen it if you don't want me to.
Right.
Like, I could say, nope, that's a bad take. You're not calling again.
Yeah, come on, give us your take. That's it. $15 gift certificate up for grabs to Rule 105. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. Big story of the day coming up next.